Hey, you're listening to YouthCast, and I'm your host, Molly Adams. It used to be that entering the financial sector, be it as a banker, a stockbroker, maybe a hedge fund manager, whatever they do, was a normal, vanilla job possibility for young people. It was on the same generic shortlist as doctor, lawyer, movie star, astronaut. But ever since the recession began at the end of 2008, spurred on by the shady dealings of people working at the highest levels of finance, those job titles have become loaded words. Lauren Silverman used to think that Wall Street was her path. And let's just say that when the bank bailouts happened, her dream crashed, deflated, and possibly bottomed out, to borrow a few familiar metaphors. But guess what? Lauren found another career that has worked out for her just fine. Public radio. She now works as a producer for Weekend All Things Considered. Stay tuned after her commentary, because we talked on the phone about just how you get in the door in Washington, D.C., and why it's never too late to go back to radio. This is Wall Street Woes by Lauren Silverman for Youth Radio.
A few years ago, I secretly dreamed about working on Wall Street. I used to picture myself in a pinstripe business suit, strutting past the charging bull before the opening bell. Working there seemed cool. It was like working for the company that makes the BlackBerry, before the iPhone, or working for Enron, before the bankruptcy. I remember one day, it was August of 2009, right before the crash. I was interning for a big nonprofit. I went out to meet up with some friends who all worked in the same field as I did, and then I met a girl who was in a whole other world. She had an internship with Goldman Sachs. I tried not to choke on my coffee. Goldman Sachs was my Lady Gaga. She was working on some big corporate buyout. But of course, she couldn't say much. The information was classified. She got to work at 7 a.m. each day, and from the way she talked about stock analysis, I imagined she knew how to use Bloomberg Analytics like an elementary school calculator. To me, she was the queen bee, and I was just one of her workers. Then the bailouts happened, and I changed my mind about Wall Street like that. I remember watching the bailouts and bonuses fiasco from my desk with the other interns on TV and yelling at the screen. We were furious. I mean, red in the face. Those companies seemed to throw around money like paper airplanes. Employees got their bonuses for losing big, and they didn't seem to care about the risks they took. Now, I know things are getting a bit better for the finance industry. I know banks have paid back some of the government bailout money. I know some investment firms are hiring again. But there's a permanent cloud lurking over Wall Street and a bad taste that's still in my mouth. I don't feel envious about those queen bees anymore. Chasing the Wall Street dream left plenty of those workers without a hive. So you won't find me dreaming about a job on Wall Street. And most of my friends feel the same way. The big financial institutions need to work on their reputation before my generation signs.
That was Wall Street Woes by Lauren Silverman for Youth Radio. As promised, ring, ring, Lauren. Hey, Lauren, how's it going?
It's going good. Thanks for having me.
So where are you right now? Physically?
Right now, I am in a waiting room, usually for guests, but I think that they'll be okay, in NPR's studios in D.C.
And what do you do at NPR?
I am a producer at All Things Considered Weekend Show. So I produce radio pieces and book guests and write interview scripts and do background research for interviews that the host of the program, Guy Raz, does interviews for Saturdays and Sundays show.
See, now that to me, as someone who's always wanted to be a radio producer, is like a dream job. And yet in this piece that we're featuring this week, you had a different dream job that you thought you wanted to do.
Yeah, I didn't know that I would end up here. And it's funny because I think that when you get really, I was really into for a while, as you read, I was really into finance and I still am really into economics. But I realize that I'm really into a lot of things, and it's not just econ, and it's not just investing, and it's not just finance, and that, doing radio and doing reporting and doing production work, you really get to focus on so many different things. So I can still do pieces and help and present story ideas that have to do with that subject, but I don't have to just focus on it. And so it fits for a personality type that's sort of spastic and likes to do a lot of different things.
Well, especially I host a daily talk show here, and the amount of times where we're talking about something that has nothing to do with the economy, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, follow the money on this one.
Yeah. No, I was talking with someone yesterday, actually, at a cafe, and he was studying accounting, and he asked me what I studied, and I said, oh, political science, but, you know, econ. I wish I had done more econ, because really that's what comes up no matter what we're talking about, whether it's the protests on Occupy Wall Street or the Tea Party or it's science, and the economy is always involved. So it's something that I think doesn't have to be, you know, you don't have to just be interested in that to have that play a central role in the other subjects that you're talking about.
Now, how do you feel? For me, and I think for a lot of other Americans, part of the problem a year ago with Wall Street in the bailout, and I think people have a better understanding of it now, was that the average person kind of didn't fully understand what was going on. They didn't understand, like, you know, this too big to fail. Like, where is the money going? Where was the money coming from?
I don't think that that's been explained still. I mean, it's still confusing to me, and we're actually going to focus on that on Weekend All Things Considered for this Sunday's show. One of the things we're going to talk about is just, how does this work? How does the stuff on Wall Street actually happen? Who's in charge of what, and what do those things mean? Because, I mean, it really hasn't still been explained. So I think that's something as reporters and, you know, as just people need to get into and talk about the details of it, because it's really confusing.
And part of it is maybe the incredulity of it. Like, so did the government really give Goldman Sachs this much money and then they straight up gave it to their CEOs as bonuses? Is it that simple?
Yeah. And I don't think that it is. I mean, the way the government gives money to corporations isn't always direct. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's what it sounds like a lot of the time. I mean, whether it's through tax breaks or whether it's through, loans that they pay interest on, it's not the government just usually giving away the money with no strings attached. But I think that's the way it was presented in the media, and that's really, for people who think that that's the case, that's really appalling, and can understand why they'd be really upset.
So let me go backwards a little bit. You started out, though, even though you thought you wanted to get into the financial sector, you started volunteering or participating in the youth radio program in California, and is that's where you grew up, and how did you get into that program?
Yeah, I grew up in Oakland and Berkeley, California, and the youth radio program was originally in Berkeley, very close to the high school that I went to, Berkeley High School. And from the first, when I first was enrolled in Berkeley High School, I heard about youth radio and I was curious about it, so I signed up for it's essentially a training program that leads to an internship. And I thought I was interested in music for a little while. Back then, you could choose between music and radio. Now they have music, radio, video production, online. I mean, it just goes much, much deeper. But I ended up writing commentaries for youth radio, and I just really loved writing and loved, speaking and saying what I actually had to say rather than just writing it. So that went on for a while, and I didn't think of it as something I wanted to do as a career necessarily, but I enjoyed doing it, and I didn't study that in high school. I studied political science and Latin American and Caribbean studies, but I found myself missing doing radio quite a bit my senior year of college.
After your senior year of college, how did you get back into radio?
I went crawling on my hands and knees to the local radio station there in Ann Arbor, Michigan Radio. And I said, hey, I've done radio in the past. I would love to work for you for free. That's what really got me back into radio, doing interviews and writing for the website online and just getting back into the world of reporting.
So how did you, I think this is a question that I get asked a lot, and a lot of public radio reporters get asked, is just kind of like, well, how did you get to NPR though? Like, what secret, like how are you in that building in Washington?
You know, it's really not as hard as I think people make it out to be. I mean, if you can get an internship at NPR, which is exactly what I did, then you have the opportunity to eventually get a job here if you're good and if you're persistent and if you come up with ideas and if you're passionate about it. So, I mean, I got an internship here, and once you have that, you're pretty much, you know, you're on your own to try and prove to people that you can actually do the work. But I don't think that's hard, you know, for someone like you or for someone who's in radio or just interested in journalism. If you're passionate about it and you're here in the building, there's so many opportunities and so many ways to show that you have ideas about stories and you have that you want to go out and you want to record, that it's not too hard to find a job opening and eventually make your way in.
Yes.
It's really luck of the draw in terms of once you're here, you just got to push for it. And then
there is that luck. There's some luck involved in getting an internship, certainly. And then you also kind
definitely.
Of need to have either be the resourceful person yourself or have the support system that allows you to do
exactly.
a full-time, very low or no paying internship.
Yeah, exactly. And that was, I was very lucky. I'd saved money my senior year. And so, you know, if I didn't have a paid internship, and if, now the internships at NPR are all paid, so that makes a big difference.
Mm. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. So do you see any other career paths outside of working in radio? It sounds like you won't be going to the financial sector anytime soon.
No. If I do something else, I don't think it will be in finance, although I do have a secret interest in someday, like, doing people's taxes for some reason. It's a good way to make money and to just have a solid business of
You're,
my own.
Like, secretly boring.
But it doesn't sound all that exciting to me.
Yeah. I found this, I don't know how I missed this piece when it was uploaded last year, but to have this year in between when you wrote and produced this commentary and, like, what has happened in that year? Would you have predicted these types of hitting the streets protests?
I mean, I came to NPR, I came to work two months ago when all the Arab Spring stuff was still really bubbling at its height. And I said, when are the protests going to happen here? And I know there were a lot of people asking that. So I was waiting for this to happen, not because I feel like it's, you know, it's working perfectly in any way, but I was wondering where the anger was in the U.S. when it's in so many other countries that are industrialized and developed and that are furious. So I don't know if I would have predicted it, but I definitely was wondering why it was taking so long for it to happen.
Mm. Thank you for talking with me, Lauren.
It was my pleasure. I hope we can do it again.
So thanks again to Lauren for taking time out of a very busy day to talk with me. And thank you to all of my listeners. This is the last episode I will be hosting for YouthCast. It's been a lot of fun meeting producers around the country over the phone and by email, listening to hours and hours of youth-produced radio that, in my opinion, can far surpass the work of professionals in its honesty and originality. So I want to shout out all the young producers who make this work mostly on their own time, and all the mentors who I know put a lot of their own time into these projects as well. If you can't live without the sound of my voice, you can catch me Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 a.m. Central, as a host of The Morning Amp on Vocalo.org and 89.5 FM in Chicago and Northwest Indiana. YouthCast is a project of Generation PRX, a website devoted to supporting, connecting, and distributing youth-produced radio. Check it out at generationprx.org. This has been Molly Adams for YouthCast, where radio makes you wish you were young again.